And this is In the Loop on WBEZ. I'm Mary Dixon in for Sasha Ann Simons. So people in Illinois can play slots, buy lottery tickets, bet on sports. It's lucrative for the state. Last year, Illinois pulled in more than $2.5 billion in tax revenues, but the Illinois Answers Project reports residents aren't necessarily winning. In fact, losses total nearly $8 billion. So why is this happening? Is the state equipped to help curb problem gambling? We're going to talk about this today with Elizabeth Thielen, the senior director at NICASA, which is a behavioral health services organization that specializes in gambling addiction services. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
And we're talking to Casey Toner, who's a reporter for the Illinois Answers Project. Casey, you've been doing the math on this. What kinds of gambling are we talking about here?
We're talking about the lottery. We're talking about casinos. We're talking about slot machines. And most recently, we've been talking about sports gambling.
So sportsbook has become more legalized in the state of Illinois in the last few years. You can do it on your phone. It's very easy. And in your reporting last year, Illinoisans lost, not just spent, but lost $7.7 billion, nearly $8 billion in gambling. That's about half of the budget for the city of Chicago. So that's a lot of paychecks to be handing over, no?
Yes, that's a lot of money. And it wasn't always like this. And that's what I think is really interesting. I was 9 years old when the first Riverboat Casino left the shores of Illinois. Now there are 17 casinos. There are 50,000 slot machines, and thanks to bipartisan legislation signed by J.B. Pritzker, there is now sports gambling, which puts the casino in people's pockets.
Yeah, and Elizabeth, I want to ask you now, especially with the addition of sportsbook, you know, gaming on your phone, have you seen more people asking for help with gaming addiction at your organization?
Absolutely. We've seen people coming in at an elevated rate for online sports betting and other forms of online gambling. And we're also seeing an alarming trend of the age trending much younger. So whereas we had people in their 40s, 50s, 30s coming in for services, now it's 30s, 20s, and even teens.
I mean, so then you're talking about teenagers who, you know, probably don't have jobs to at least replenish their resources, right, and they need to lean on mom and dad.
Right.
You know, if mom and dad know about it.
Absolutely. And it's something that's really not on people's radar. I know, you know, parents and school administrators are concerned about substance use, vaping, all of that. And gambling is not on the radar, but it needs to be because it's happening in the classrooms, in the locker rooms, in colleges, in dorms, all of that.
Casey, why would you say that gambling is on the rise?
It's on the rise because the state of Illinois has legalized it. And in many ways, I think they've cleared the path for gambling companies to operate. And the gambling companies are taking advantage of that. And right now, there are technologies that are available that did not exist 100 years ago. There are algorithms. You know, there's the gamification of everything, really, that I think is just leading to more people placing bets. And again, you just couldn't do this stuff legally, you know, 30 years ago.
When you talk about the gamification of gambling, that, of course, reminds me of the prediction markets like Kelce and was it Poly Market, like where you're betting on almost anything in the world, which is not necessarily legal in Illinois. And there is some pushback against their sports betting on those prediction markets. But actual sports gaming is legal here now.
Yes, actual sports betting is legal, and you can do it from your phone. And this presents a lot of challenges for people, especially people who are problem gamblers. We spoke to a man in Gamblers Anonymous who talked to us about how he lost a bunch of money 1 week, and he was thinking about telling people about his addiction. And then he got a text from the customer service guy at DraftKings who said that they deposited money into his account. He checks his account, and there's $5,000 there, with an option to cash out. And he was telling us that they knew that they could give him $5,000 and they wouldn't lose a cent.
Wow. Is that the guy named Reeve that you start your story with?
It's a different man.
That's a different guy. So can you talk to us a little bit about Reeve's story too?
Yes. Reeve is one of these people who very sadly kind of grew up in this house of gambling where his father would take him and his family to the horse tracks. And he says he was kind of raised by the horse tracks. And when he had a good day at the tracks, things would be all right. But when it was a bad day, you know, things would spiral to abuse. And this is the last life that Reeve wanted to live. Mm. But what happened is, you know, after the pandemic, sports betting gets legalized. And he's watching his favorite team, the Chicago Cubs. And he sees a little ad scroll across the bottom of the screen, $5 bets. And he does it. And the next thing he knows, he's spending all of his time, all of his money on gambling. And he estimates, you know, going through several hundred thousands of dollars and blowing the nest egg that was meant for a house that he was going to buy with his husband. And, you know, eventually he, you know, kind of came to and he realized he had a problem and he went to Gamblers Anonymous. Now, you know, he spends a lot of his time trying to tell people about, you know, what this is doing to people in Illinois.
And as you write, Reeve says that point where he lost his nest egg, someone who really was dead set against developing any kind of gambling habit, he feels this is where the state could have stepped in, right?
Yes, yes. He, you know, he's talked about the advertising that exists. You know, he mentioned this free play that scrolled across the bottom of the screen. And he's right. I mean, the state of Illinois, the politicians in Illinois, the lawmakers, they're the ones that are responsible. They can change how this industry looks, right? They said it's legal, but they can change how it looks and how it's advertised and how it's marketed to people and how people use it.
So, for example, if I'm watching a baseball game, which I do frequently, or the World Cup, which I'm kind of doing too, there are ads all over the place for gaming platforms. But if I want to run to the corner and buy a pack of cigarettes, there are no ads for cigarettes on TV. And there are very strict rules about ads for liquor. For example, if there's a beer commercial, you don't see people actually drinking beer. Is this the kind of regulation that Reeve and others are talking about, Casey?
Yes, it's one of the many things that they've talked about, because it's true. At this point, the same advertising space in sports stadiums that used to be occupied by cigarette ads are now occupied by gambling ads. And other countries have fixed some of this. I believe in England, they used to allow gambling companies to put their patches on jerseys for soccer players. But after enough pushback, they decided to ban that because so many children are watching sports and they see, you know, their favorite soccer strikers and they see the badges on their jerseys, and, you know, one thing leads to another. So other people have taken steps to change this, but in Illinois, you know, things are moving a little bit slower.
Elizabeth, let's talk with you about your story, your personal connection to all of this. It almost sounds like it might be a little bit like Reeve's story. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. Yeah. I had an early exposure to gambling. My mom married into a family that was very much invested in gambling, and they actually did it, even though they were very intensely involved. They did it in a very controlled way. Mm. I came into it with some vulnerabilities that none of us really realized connected to gambling, which is a family history of addiction. So that early exposure plus that family history, plus I was an athlete and ended up having a career-ending injury, all of this kind of coalesced into developing some problematic gambling behavior. And I think it's really important here in Illinois, when we have so much access to gambling products, we recognize that we are not all the same. A lot have vulnerabilities that others do not have. And I'm particularly concerned with our emerging adults, our teens, our emerging adults who are extremely talented and smart. And so we see them walking and talking and doing amazing things. And we think, hey, they can navigate this safely. Their brains are different than ours, and they're doing some very complex stuff that actually make them very vulnerable to the addictive properties of these products. So it's super important that we fold it into existing prevention programming and concepts, and that families are talking to their young people about gambling just like they do about substances, and that they take advantage of some of the resources that are out there, because Illinois has made some, you know, really important resources available as far as prevention and treatment, and they can all be accessed by schools and parents, and we need to connect those dots there.
Not to say that teenagers always make great choices, right, but it does seem like decades of information about cigarette smoking, mm-hmm, tobacco, alcohol. Younger kids today, teenagers today, generally are less likely to engage in those kinds of behaviors. But there's really not that discussion, as you're saying, Elizabeth, about gaming.
Right, yet. Absolutely. If you see what is coming across all of our feeds, our social media feeds, we see a high potential for reward. That's what we're seeing in the ads, and a low potential for risk. And it's absolutely the inverse. And so young people can make healthy decisions about risky behaviors when they have accurate information. And that's where we need to get more young people involved, get them accessing the research and the stats, and then have them getting involved. Because when we look at the ads, again, what's coming across their feeds are young people who are using prediction markets and even making fraudulent ads that show, hey, I did this and I won all this money. And they're being paid by, you know, an industry that is capitalizing on what we know works with youth, that peer influence. So let's get young people influencing their peers to go, hey, this is maybe not for us. Like, let's not be tricked.
This is In the Loop on 91.5 WBEZ. Casey Toner is here from the Illinois Answers Project. Elizabeth Thielen with Nikasa, which helps to treat addiction disorders. And if you or someone you know is struggling with gambling, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234. Casey, in your reporting, have you found who is most at risk or vulnerable to the gaming industry here, who's losing the most money?
It kind of runs the gamut, which is something that I found is really interesting. Of course, there's issues if there is, you know, if it runs in the family, if addiction runs in the family. But really, there's all kinds of people who are getting, you know, sucked up into this. Me and my partner, Maggie Doherty of Capital News Illinois, we spent a lot of time at Gamblers Anonymous meetings. And there are a lot of people who were professionals who were there. And especially what we saw most of all was young men. Mm-hmm. Like rooms that used to have three or four people, you know, people who have struggled with casinos or the horse tracks. But now there are entire rooms full of people, and they're mostly young men.
Elizabeth, what would you say to someone who's struggling with gaming, or if they have a young person in their house who is struggling with it?
I would say reach out. And I would say reach out before, you know, like, let's put some preventative measures in place. And if there is harm being experienced, reach out. Addiction is just one of the potential harms that can come from gambling in an uninformed way. So, like, let's get the information out to people. It's never too late to connect to care. And if you are one of those people that just finds that you are experiencing harm and you see the commercials and you see other people and they're having fun or they're making money, you know, what is your experience? It's okay to opt out.
What safeguards, Elizabeth, would you think would help to prevent gambling among young people? What guardrails would you like to see put up?
I would like to see better age verifications from the regulated products. At the same time, there are unregulated products. They have absolutely no scruples. Not only are they letting young people bet, when young people place bets without actual money, so they're offering them credit, and they lose, they are then cyber-stalking them, harassing them, reaching out to family members and threatening them. So it has become a very large criminal enterprise that is preying on young people, college students, high school students. So one thing I recommend for parents, reach out to a provider, go on that areyoureallywinning.com website and look for an outreach provider to learn more. But one of the safeguards we could put in place is blocking software. I think parents of any young person could put blocking software on the young person's device to prevent them from accessing directly these gambling platforms.
And Casey, what are you finding on the state level to curb gambling addictions?
Well, the state, under J.B. Pritzker, has increased the funding available for the treatment of gambling addictions. It went from $1 million, the allocations went from $1 million to about $15 million, but only $10 million of that is being spent. Mm. And then when you look at what that bucket is, only about $1.5 million is being spent on treating people who are addicted to gambling. And that represents about 6 cents out of every $100 that is brought in state gambling tax revenue. And we spoke to providers who talked about their money actually running out before the end of the fiscal year. And they have to triage the treatment options that are available for people. So I do think that there's an avenue for potentially more money to be spent on helping people.
What are the odds we're going to see any action on this, for example, in the fall veto session, or is this going to have to wait till next spring?
It's hard to say, but I do think that as more and more people are getting caught up in this, as more and more people's children are starting to gamble, I think that this is going to become an issue that is only going to receive, you know, more attention in the years and decades to come.
Elizabeth Thielen is the senior director at NICASA. Where can people find your organization that helps people with addiction disorders?
Yeah, they can go to NICASA.org, which is NICASA.org. They can email gambling@NICASA.org, and that comes to me and my entire team. And, you know, there are telehealth services available. There's services for people who speak Spanish, English, Mandarin. We have groups, individuals. We have women's-only groups. We have a young adult group. So there are a lot of resources out there if people will connect. And like you said, 1-800-GAMBLER is a great place to start, too.
And Casey Toner at the Illinois Answers Project. What's the web address there?
IllinoisAnswers.org.
If you or someone you know is struggling with gambling, that number is 1-800-GAMBLER. It's a toll-free helpline with trained specialists 24/7 and 365 days a year.